talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Hey, we got some water falling out of the sky out there right now. Currently it is 52 degrees, humidity is 91. So far this morning, looks like we've got almost 1,500s here in Elk City. I'll check out where we got more rain in the area here in just a second. Winds out of the northwest at 16 miles an hour with a wind gust up to 22. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up for you later in the show, but we've got a pretty good chance of rain for most of the day through 6 o'clock tonight. And so, great. I mean, we'll take it for May especially. 61 today, 50 something tomorrow. I don't see us getting to 61 today, but let's check out the rainfall amounts on the Mesonet for the last, let's just go 3 hours. Looks pretty good. Everybody's getting a little bit. Looks like Eric has got about the same as us, 1,500s. Bessie, 600s. Just pretty much all over the state. Over there to the east, though, their guys are under flash flood warnings, the whole works going up. But this thing's circling back and coming across. Isn't this great? The one thing I have noticed about the rain that we got this week compared to the last few rains we have got in certain areas in the last couple weeks is that the wind ain't blowing 90 miles an hour and 95 degrees outside the day after the rain. So this moisture is getting a chance to do some good. A lot of guys got their peanuts in the ground. This is great. Hopefully if the ground's not too cool to get the peanuts up. A lot of guys planting sorghum because the hay crop wasn't worth the crap from the fall crops last year or last fall. And so anyway, things are looking good as long as the ground's not too cool, according to one of my inside informants that I was talking to there the day before yesterday. He was hoping the ground wasn't too cold because sorghum needs a certain temperature, I'm going to say, in the mid-60s to get up, get sprouted, get to going. And I'm getting ready to put some of that in the ground myself next week. I've heard anywhere from high gear to some special hay sorghums going on to millets and stuff. And so anyway, everybody's got her going on. The text line is open, 580-225-9697. That's the KECO Ag text line. Let me know if you got more than a tenth or two, if you want to, or if you got questions today. I'm going to have a Jason Bollinger on here today. He's running for U.S. Senate in Oklahoma. He's going to come on, and we're going to talk agriculture. That's it. We're talking agriculture, so he'll be coming on here pretty quick. So if you got some questions related to agriculture for him when he's doing the show, text it in. I'll see if we'll check it out, see if we can get him to answer them, and if we got time. Well, let's check out the markets. Looks like everything is in the red right now except for livestock, which is good. Let me make sure it's updated. Yep. Live cattle for June, 133.05. August is 132.97. October is 138.57. December is 144.20. Feeder cattle for May, 155.07. Feeder cattle for August, 168.75. Lean hogs, June, 108.27. They're down now. July is 107.80 and August is 107.50 and cotton is hanging in there around 141.5. So anyway, around the 142 mark. Let's check out the Oklahoma cash grain prices. This morning is of 11 a.m. Hard red winter wheat, 11.56. Corn's at 7.94. Milo's at 7.52. And soybeans are below the 16 mark for a while, first time in a while. 15.98 for soybeans. All right, let's get rid of that. Let's see what's going on in the real world. Wheat futures plunged in overnight trading, and corn and soybeans fell off favorable weather in much of the United States. Precipitation is expected in much of the southern plains today and tomorrow, which should help concerns about dry weather in some regions. Rains began falling just in the nick of time for some farmers in Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, where hard red winter wheat is growing. I got to argue with that. I think it's past. We're already combining. Rain is not going to do us no good. As much as six times the normal amount of rain has fallen in the Texas Panhandle and almost all of northern Oklahoma in the past 7 days from normal. And only 28% of the U.S. winter wheat crop was in good or excellent condition as of Sunday. And while that's up percentage point from previous week, it's still a low number considering a year early 47% earned top ratings. 63% was headed out at the start of the week, just behind the 65% of this time last year. Dry weather in the Midwest in recent days is fueling a drop in corn and soybean prices as they worried that delayed planting would have negative effects on the yields already being done. Farmers in the past 2 weeks have planted 50% of the U.S. corn crop, of which 72% is now in the ground. That's just 7 percentage points behind the prior five-year average. Half of the U.S. soybean crop was planted as of Sunday, up from only 30% a week earlier, but still behind the 50% time of this year last time. Spring wheat planting was 49% finished, up from 39% last week, but still well behind the 83% that's normal this time of the year to get all that spring wheat in. About 29% has emerged, and that's up from 16% a week earlier, but still way behind that 50% normal that's been up. Wheat for July delivery plunged 27 and a quarter cents to $11.27 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures dropped 24 and three quarter cents to $12.13 a bushel. Corn futures were down 7.5 cents to $7.64 a bushel. Soybean futures for July delivery dropped 7.75 cents to $16.84 a bushel. Soy meal dropped $3.40 to $423.70 a short ton, while soybean oil futures fell 0.57 cents to 79.55 cents a pound. Well, Mr. Jason just walked in the studio, so we'll go on ahead and go to break, and I'll come back with the weather update, and we'll get to visiting with Jason about agriculture problems in the world and ways to save it. Anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
XIT Auctions will be selling 400 acres of good Kiowa County land Thursday, June the 2nd in Hobart, Oklahoma. The auction will be conducted at the Women's Exhibit Building, selling 400 acres and three tracks. These are located 6 miles north of Lone Wolf, Oklahoma on County Road 2090. For more information on this auction or to talk about your auction, call me, Aubrey Latham, 580-393-4440, or check us out on the web at xitauctions.com. XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I farm and ranch for a living. That's all I do. So I've got property and equipment, irrigation systems, my house, my barns, and Mickey has everything now. I decided one day to call him, and I actually was having lunch with a friend, and he had his number, and we actually rang him up at lunch, and he was at my barn at my office that evening. Sat down, I showed him my deck sheets. He took them. and was back in touch with me within 2 days or less with everything, and I pulled the trigger. He come back to the office, was signed all the papers and wrote him a check. I've never actually been to his office. I think it's in Mangum, but I couldn't get there right now without looking it up. My name is Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes, good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Speaking of the Hobart Stockyards, I don't know if they're done yet, but they're having their sale today. FYI, the Elk City Livestock Auction will be happening Friday, but the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will not be happening Monday because of Memorial Day. And when you see a soldier, a veteran, or a soldier this weekend, or anytime this week, thank them for their service, because that's what this weekend is about. It's about the guys that gave it all, but I always think the ones that are living too, and that way they always know that we appreciate what they did, and especially the guys that gave it all. But anyway, currently right now it's 52 degrees, still raining, the winds are out of the northwest, and Mr. Jason Bollinger, thank you for bringing the rain with you from Oklahoma City.
My pleasure.
You got they got enough up there.
We have more than enough.
Bring some more. Yep. Bring some more out here. Well, welcome to the show, and Jason is running for the U.S. Senate seat here in Oklahoma.
I am.
And I hope you get it.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much.
You got really local, tight local
I
ties.
I do. It's always good to be back here, and, you know, I'll try to come back next week and bring another bunch of rain with me.
We'll appreciate it. How was your drive out?
It was wet, but pretty good. It rained the whole time. It's been raining for over 3 days in Oklahoma City, but it's needed out here, so I'm glad to see that it's was pouring on my way out here.
Well, before we come back from break, you made the point of what you noticed on the way out here. Can you share that with everybody?
Yeah, as I'm looking, you know, growing up out here in Western Oklahoma, I was used to seeing our shelter belts, especially as you move further west and south of here. And driving in from the city today, I just noticed how many have died off, and, you know, those serve a vital purpose for our farming and ranching operations, and it concerns me that they have died. And, you know, it's natural that they would, but we've got to be focusing on replanting those so that we're not dealing with another Dust Bowl situation here in Western Oklahoma.
Is very important in farming and ranching, and I think them were planted in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and they lasted pretty good.
They did, yeah.
I wonder if when they replant, they'll last just as long.
I hope so, but, you know, not without rain like this. That's going to be the trouble.
Well, our conservation efforts are way better than they used to be, and probably some areas, the shelter belts probably not necessarily, but there's a lot of area out here that's sandy and it blows, and shelter belts are very important. And they're important for the wildlife also.
Absolutely.
That's where I used to quail hunt back in the 80s.
Of course.
I didn't even have to have a bird dog back then. But anyway, those times are kind of gone right now. Maybe not because of the shelter belts, but yeah, because the new ag bill's coming up next year.
2023, it'll be the renewal will be taken up in the Congress next year.
Right. Yeah. And who writes it? The House?
So it's the House Ag Committee is who writes it, and then you know the Senate has their own version, and then they're reconciled. But it's a monster of a bill, and so it requires a lot of expertise. And we've been lucky to have a Western Oklahoman on the Ag Committee until recently. Congressman Frank Lucas, of course, always does a great job with that. And but we currently don't have a U.S. senator on the Senate Agriculture Committee,
right?
And so looking forward to in the U.S. Senate working to be on that committee to represent the people I grew up with, the people I've known my whole lives who are in these farming and ranching operations here in Western Oklahoma.
Yeah, because you know some farmers and
ranchers. I do, quite a few.
and it would probably help you out big time.
Absolutely.
Up there. Don't. If you do get this and you get on that committee, don't say, I know this guy, Jimmy. Don't do that. There's way smarter farmers and ranchers out here.
We'll bring Jimmy to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be good. No, it wouldn't be good. Well, what do you see some of the things? Have you studied any of the things that may be going on next year's bill? Because I think one thing that I notice is going to be a big subject in the bill is climate change.
Absolutely. That's a huge part of it, and providing relief to our farmers and ranchers who have been dealing with the effects of climate change. We've seen it here in Western Oklahoma with the wildfires, and then also addressing the food shortage with the situation with the war in Ukraine. You know, the Ukrainians were a major supplier of grain and corn, but now we have the opportunity here in the U.S. to kind of to help make up that difference, but we need help to get that done. And so we've got to ensure that there's not a food shortage, and that I think that'll certainly be a part of it as well.
Is that baby formula you're talking about?
Well, that too, absolutely.
I don't get that one.
Yeah.
I haven't got that one yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all you hear is people say there's warehouses of it full,
yep,
just waiting, but the shelves are empty.
Yeah, right, and it's an issue with inspection, as far as I understand.
That's
and,
what
you
I
know,
heard.
We've got to, I know that the FDA needs resources to inspect these, the formula that's coming from overseas, because the majority that we put on the shelves here is from the United States. So we have a different inspection process for that that's manufactured overseas. And so we need to be sure that the FDA is getting those resources to get this stuff moving, get it on the shelves, and get it to working families.
Yeah, because not that I want to get off on the baby formula deal, but there was a deal there I read yesterday or the day before, is the reason why this all come about is some of the baby formula that was coming from overseas, mm-hmm, was contaminated.
It was, including some from overseas and also from here in the United States. You know, one of our manufacturing facilities was completely shut down because of bacteria found in some of the formula, and some children got sick, unfortunately. And so our inspection process, we caught it quickly, but then because such a huge part of the market is controlled by these few large producers, then you shut one down, we've got a real problem.
You shut one down, it's a big boy.
Yeah.
Well, I think I can tell you how the baby formula shortage deal has helped the agriculture world.
Okay.
Goat milk sales is up.
Well, good.
I didn't read that. I studied that one. But goat milk sales are up.
Interesting.
Well, there's a, you know, with climate, back to our climate change, you know, the state climatologist, Gary from the Oklahoma Mesonet, mm-hmm, he is McManus. He's, you know, and I've heard weather people saying that, and you growing up here, you know, when we get storms in the spring, the dry lines form out in the Texas,
yep,
Panhandle, around Amarillo and Pampa, mm-hmm, and then they move this way. This is where we get our tornadoes, our hail, and all of our rain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's been changing a little bit over the last 10 years, and they're saying that the, not necessarily the last 10 years, last 20 or 30, since they started keeping records, that dry line has shifted from out there around the New Mexico-Texas mm-hmm line. Now it's over here closer to the Oklahoma state line. Well, this is becoming less and less rain in this part of the state,
yep,
than normal. You know, you get around hydro and get towards the city, it's just green and lush.
Yeah,
and
it is.
It's starting to get green and lush here.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can't control climate.
No.
It's not global. I'm not going to get into the global, mm-hmm, warming deal because I'm not a believer in it. I'm a believer in climate change.
Mm-hmm.
It always has changed. And so I'm sitting there thinking, okay, if this is true, as long as some people out here got irrigation and in the Texas Panhandle, it's not a terrible thing. Mm-hmm. But for dryland farming, it is a terrible thing. And because we're taking that much land out of production, or not out of production, it's not producing nothing.
Right.
So, I mean, what do you think?
I think, you know, that's part of the problem. And then addressing the natural disasters that follow a shift like this, too. You know, we're dealing with something here that typically was dealt with in Texas Panhandle, California, New Mexico, Arizona, these more desert areas with the wildfires.
Right.
You know, we've got our rural fire departments have been fighting wildfires for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time, and we're just not equipped here to do that because it's not something we've had to do in the past. And so I think it's important that our government realizes, you know, we need to recognize what the issue is, and we can now predict what it's going to look like in the future and provide resources to folks out here to shift how we're operating.
Yeah, and whether that shift is wildfires or tornadoes or whatever, yes, there's been less tornadoes here lately, but as Lacey Swope said on my show here a couple of months ago, she said, you know, everybody keeps telling me about there's less and less tornadoes. It's not true.
No.
She said the tornadoes are still there, and they're not moving that direction. They're still out here. Mm-hmm. It's just like a hurricane. You predict a big hurricane season, and you don't have one, the next year it comes and it hits you right in the ballpark. Jason, we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we're talking with Jason Bollinger. He's running for U.S. Senate. He was born and raised right here in this county.
Yep.
And so, anyway, we're looking forward to talking to him because he just brought up a subject about fires that I want to hit him up on. You know, you guys out there know me and my fire department. So, anyway, while he's in here, I'm going to at least put the bug in his ear. So, anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, May 20th. 1,145 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 204 brought 430. 3 at 348 brought 197. 6 at 533 brought 164.50. 4 at 649 brought 149. 5 at 815 brought 144. 3 head of heifers at 298 brought 170. 8 at 422 brought 164. 11 at 520 brought 157. 6 at 598 brought 152.50. 4 at 828 brought 129. Butcher cows were 39 to 84.50. Butcher bulls brought 56 to 108. 50. Bred cows are 660 to 1175. Pairs brought 325 to 1400. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Guess what today is? It is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. I'm wearing a Taylor Ranch hat today. You know why? Because we all love beef. Anyway, an excellent steak leaves a lasting impression. A steak that is full of flavor, has juiciness, and is tender, and an eating experience so good it can be remembered years later. I'm getting hungry reading this. And Jimmy knows how to write these up, but whether you would like to relive the mouth-watering event or experience it for the first time, Taylor Ranch can help you with that, and they sure can. They work every day to create the tremendous eating experience by selecting genetics and enhance the marbling, the ribeye, and tenderness of every calf. They develop every animal as if it was going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch. Their beef is available in quarters, halves, or wholes. Third-party verified, all natural, and hormone-free also available. If you want to try at least a quarter, but you'll regret not getting a half at least. If you got freezer room, call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662. 405-609-4662. They got great beef. I know this for example. Not that I'm good friends with Jimmy and Tracy out there. I had a brisket from a couple weeks ago. Believe me, it's a cat's meow on beef. Anyway, welcome back. I got Jason Bollister in here. He is a candidate running for U.S. Senate seat here in Oklahoma. Not Oklahoma Senate, U.S. Big boy. He's going to the big boy. How long was you up there?
I was there a little over a year.
Okay.
The first year and a half of the Trump administration.
And that was there, and you was working for the State Department?
The State Department, yep.
How was that? Is it chaos?
It was a little bit of chaos, yeah, but really interesting. I definitely learned a lot while I was there.
Did you ever get to tweet with the president?
No, unfortunately.
Good for you. You touched on a subject. I got a few subjects more to speak with you about. When you was talking about the wildfires,
mm-hmm.
and then you yourself knew what was going on out here with the fire departments. I found out we have another full-time fire department that I didn't know about, so I'm going to correct that today. Altus has a full-time fire department. Mm-hmm. Elk City has a full-time fire department. Clinton has a full-time fire department. Weatherford, Woodward, and I heard Mangum has one, and I didn't know that.
Good.
And I think they have somebody on shift 24/7 there, so I correct myself the last few times. I never mentioned Mangum, so I'm mentioning Mangum today, right down there in the middle of the capital of Greer County.
Yep.
Well, so the rest of it's all volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of fires this year. More than normal, and there's always a wildfire going on around here.
Yeah.
Some real fire,
uh-huh.
some just people causing it. But this year, Roger Mills was in Beaver County, I think, were the two hardest hit mm-hmm. counties on the Oklahoma side. On the Texas side, they're still fighting right now.
Yeah.
And we got resources that was needed, and I think the prayers have been answered for resources mm-hmm. on the aircraft part for air support. As of right now, they helped out a lot there. It came to light on the Durham fire,
mm-hmm.
and that was a big fire. And when Texas come in and helped Oklahoma put out that fire on the Durham fire, I got mad on the show one day, and I told everybody to start calling their representatives
yeah.
and senators and whoever else. Lo and behold, the next few fires, we had air support.
Good.
And I think that it wasn't because of me. It was some changes that needed to be happening at Oklahoma City. But we'll get back to, and I kind of quit saying that word, but when we get back to the fire departments themselves, everything is either bought, hand-me-downs from SWOTA or the mm-hmm. Forest Department, which is greatly appreciated, but it takes a lot of money to build those trucks up. And we don't get to go buy new firefighting trucks mm-hmm. like some states out west where they spend a lot of money on their deal. Then we get to the firemen, they're not paid.
Right.
They are not paid to fight these fires, and the biggest part of them have to take personal leave mm-hmm. to go fight these fires, so they're losing income. When you get a deal in like we did last month, where they were going a lot and they missed a lot of work. And yeah, there's that one company there and there, they're paying those guys that we don't know about, but there's a lot of them don't get paid. Mm-hmm. And then we had all these repairs, and by donations and the help of people in Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, you know, a lot of money was raised in the last month to help these fire departments. Yep. What do you think can be done at the federal level to help the local fire departments?
Sure. Well, I just want to start by saying I'm intimately familiar with this situation because when I was growing up, the majority of my childhood, my dad was the fire chief in Carter. And so I know, you know, the days at a time off work in the middle of the night and, you know, what it takes to run these rural volunteer fire departments. But there are FEMA grants available for rural fire departments to help compensate the volunteer firemen, to provide compensation when they're obviously having to take off work. And so I think the federal government, and this may be something we want to look at in a future appropriations, maybe even in the farm bill, as I think it touches you know, this obviously is an issue that affects farmers and ranchers. We need to be sure that there is funding provided for these FEMA grants.
Right. And not a lot of red tape involved.
Exactly.
Yeah, because, you know, like I said, maybe not so much on the full-time fire departments, but the majority of our fire departments mm-hmm. out here are volunteer. And those guys, you know, they're busy working on their trucks, and yep. then they got their real life that yep. they live in. And doing paperwork, I'm not saying there's always paperwork mm-hmm. involved. There's got to be. The yep. government's got to track where their money goes. I understand that.
Right.
But just make it easier to have easier access to money.
Truly, because, you know, if they had the money to hire lawyers to help them apply for these grants, then they wouldn't need the money in the first place. So, so we got to, and I'm saying that as a lawyer, you know. But we need to make it easy to access, because this is truly an emergency situation, and we're asking people to give up their livelihood to help fight these fires and protect the rest of us.
Well, and that's a good deal. So if you're elected,
mm-hmm.
just remember that.
Absolutely.
Make it away.
I will not forget it.
Yeah, so that'll be good. Well, have you noticed things have cost more lately?
I absolutely have. Gas, food, everything.
Our inputs on the agriculture side are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I mean, chemicals, I hope I get these numbers right. Like last year, a semi-load of totes of Roundup weed killer was, I think, around 60 to 100,000, mm-hmm. I think, for a semi-load. It's up in the $200,000-$300,000 yep. range. Farmers can't afford that.
Right.
They can't afford. Yes, the prices of grain, some of the products have come up, mm-hmm. but the inputs come up more than the price of materials going on. And the same thing with cattle. You know, cattle's the price hasn't been too bad. Here in the last 4 or 5 months, it's been steady and up, but feeding the cattle and the hay prices have mm-hmm. gone up. The hay prices have gone up because the input's gone
exactly.
up on that side. You know, bale of hay last year, you could have bought a bale of wheat hay for $60 to $80. This year, I'm afraid it's going to be to $120 to $140.
Mm-hmm.
You can't afford to feed your cattle that.
Nope.
What do we do?
You know, I think first of all, we've got to look at what is causing the rising prices on the inputs. Are we having are these input or import shortages? Are we talking about just, you know, inflation on the inputs themselves here domestically? But then providing relief for our farmers and ranchers, because that in turn is going to provide relief to American consumers who are purchasing these products, purchasing food in restaurants, at the grocery store. And so if we can address this on the back end where it starts, meaning with the farmers and ranchers, everyone benefits.
Right. And it does, because, you know, now, you know, I was reading a deal this morning where, hey, you guys need to really check the inflation of your tires, your
right.
air pressure,
yep.
because, you know, tractors are meant to have low air pressure mm-hmm. in the field working, but a lot of guys air it up because they do a lot of roading back and forth on the deal.
Right.
The savings in fuel was unbelievable
mm-hmm.
and the efficiency. We got to watch that. Me, I got a diesel feed truck, but coming mm-hmm. over here, I just drive my old hunting wagon
because yep.
it's gasoline and it gets a little better gas mileage than my diesel, because they're predicting diesel will be $10 by August.
Yep. Yeah, from what I've seen, we're not looking at a slowdown in this upward trajectory through at least the end of this year, which is really unfortunate. So we've got to do something to address this, because that people can't afford it.
No, we can't. I mean, example is there's a business over in Sayre that a lot of their people from Elk City drove over there to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a high-paying job, but it was a good job. Well, they're quitting because it's costing them more to drive over there and back right. than what they were making.
Yep.
And it's just... It's sad.
Yeah, well, and it impacts at every level. You know, I think about our public schools with these diesel school buses. That's an increased cost that maybe they haven't budgeted for. Obviously, farmers and ranchers, it's hitting us at every level.
I'm going to touch on a subject that I didn't mention to you, and I'm not throwing you under the bus here, as you just said, but electric vehicles.
Yeah.
We already have problems with our power grids.
Mm-hmm.
And now our present administration is wanting us to be so electric by the end of the deal. Can you see all these guys out here with these tractors that already cost them $100,000 to $200,000 and they're diesels? Can you see them trying to purchase electric tractors, afford to do
right.
it? They can't afford
no.
hardly what they're doing.
No, definitely not. And you know, I think until we get it to a point where it is affordable and where we can, you know, not make the situation worse. You know, a major issue with electric vehicles and equipment is, you know, the intention is to reduce pollution. Well, we've got these lithium batteries then that, you know, some say may be worse than the carbon emitted from a combustion engine.
Right.
So until we address those issues and get commoditize these electric vehicles and equipment in a way that makes them affordable, I don't know how we on a large scale implement this. You know, I'm all for diversification if we can do it reasonably, and we have obviously the resources here in Oklahoma with our wind energy to help increase the clean energy infrastructure, but we've got to make it affordable, of course.
Yeah, it's got to come into common sense.
Yeah,
exactly. Sometimes common sense doesn't get played in Washington,
unfortunately.
And you figured that out in a year, didn't you?
I absolutely did. There's a shortage.
Well, I keep looking at our power grids, you know. We already have issues with power grids.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start the last thing I heard was like 300 million vehicles need to be total electric in the next 10 or 15 years. Can you
right.
imagine adding that to our infrastructure?
No, I can't. You know, you see a lot of electric vehicles in Oklahoma City, and I know people who have them, but where do they charge them? You know, you've got to go park at a grocery store, park at the mall or something to charge them.
Or carry a generator.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, which then is putting off exhaust, too. So, you know, we've got to work on the infrastructure if we really want to make this widespread. Otherwise, it's just a pipe dream, in my opinion.
Well, I was driving from Vernon, Texas to Decatur the other day, and there's a lot of wind towers right in there, and a lot of, you know, in Texas they got big power lines mm-hmm. all over the state of Texas, and I just looked at that, and it was 8 big combines. There was red and green for my buddy over there at Delhi, colors going on, and they were all under those wind towers and those big high line. Mm-hmm. It was the ugliest sight I ever seen.
Yeah.
The only thing pretty was the combine.
Right.
So
yeah.
I just can't imagine all the infrastructure with all the power lines it'll be mm-hmm. running all over the world, but I don't know what. So what's your game plan? What are you going on?
Yeah, I mean, we've been working, the primary is June 28th, so we're getting dangerously close to that, and where I'm traveling all the time, been southeast Oklahoma, spending a lot of time in Tulsa and Oklahoma City. I was out here today, and you know, just really working to get our message out to people. I hope we're really active on social media, so I hope people will check us out there. Check out our website at jasonforoklahoma.com, and I hope people will reach out. You know, there's an email address on the website. Please reach out there. We do respond to those, and you know, really working to get back to the issues that impact Oklahomans and get away from all of the stuff that just divides us and they're not real issues that are affecting people on a daily basis. You know, getting back to improving our infrastructure, improving our schools, increasing access to health care, taking care of our veterans, those things that we've just ignored for too long. That's the message we're taking across the state, and people are really tuning into it and taking part in it and joining our cause.
Well, Jason, Mr. Bollinger, I better get used to calling you Mr. Bollinger.
Nah.
But anyway, thank you so much for stopping by today, and I'm glad you was out here today because I want to get candidates in here, and I don't do it very often because I try to make this show not political unless it's funny.
Yeah, you know, I get it.
But we appreciate what you come by with, and it looks like you got a good head on your shoulder.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm always happy to be here. I appreciate the time.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
That was Jason Bollinger. He is actually from Carter, Oklahoma, right south Elk City here, and he is running for U.S., not state, U.S., Senator here in Oklahoma. If you get a chance, go to the website, their social media, and check him out and see what he's got going on. When I get back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the Everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodford Livestock Auction. For sale this Thursday, May the 26th, we'll have a lighter sale with the nice rain we received. Give us a call to find out what time we start. Here's what we had in the yard as of Tuesday evening. Paducah, Texas, 79 steers and heifers are weaned, weigh 350 to 450. Woodward got 40 steers and heifers, 5 to 6. Moreland got 60 steers, 8.5. Laverne, 20 steers and heifers, 6 to 7. Levy got 42 steers and heifers, 7 to 8. Moreland, 103 steers and heifers, 6 to 8. Cleo Springs, 137 steers and heifers, 6.5 to 8. Moreland got 108 steers, 8.5 to 9. Levy, 70 heifers, 7 to 750. And Alley, 65 steers and heifers, 8.5. Again, give us a call to find out what time we'll start. Be sure and tell God thank you for the rain. Thanks again, Jerry Nine and the Woodford Livestock Auction.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I lost my place there for a second. All right. Thank you, Jason Bollinger, for stopping by. And check him out on social media. Check out who he's running against and who's running against him this coming June, July, whenever that is. I think it's June. Anyway, check him out. He's a good guy. I like talking to him. And he knows a little bit about ag, and he's wanting to learn more. And I like that. So anyway, currently 52 degrees. Humidity is 90%. Rainfall, we're up to 1700s here in Elk City. Winds are blowing out of the northwest at 20 miles an hour with 26 mile an hour gusts. Today, 40% chance of rain, high 61. Tonight, 48. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with northwest winds, 9 to 15 miles an hour, and a high of 80 degrees. Tomorrow night, 52. Friday, starts warming up, 87 with south winds, 5 to 15 miles an hour. Saturday, the winds pick up a little more. It's going to be 95. Sunday, 98 with winds out of the south, 17 to 23 with wind gust over 30. So get ready. It's going to warm back up, and the winds will return for the holiday weekend, Memorial Day, coming up. We got Elk City Fire Department is having their golf tournament tomorrow here in Elk City. So good luck with that with the fire department. Clinton's got theirs coming up. Let me see. Let me get back on that date on that one. I'll catch it here in a minute. I'll find it here in a second and get back with you. Meanwhile, let's talk about what happened at Elk City last Friday at the livestock auction. Had steers from Sentinel, Wheeler, Granite, Sweetwater. 345 pounders were bringing 224, 371s, 218, 469s, a buck 80. The five weights were bringing in the 160, mid to 160s, upper 160s actually. And then some from Allison, Texas, weighed 768, brought a buck 47. Elk City had some 815 pounders, $144 per hundredweight. On the heifer side, they had some 400 pounders bringing $164 per hundredweight, some 520s, $1.57, some 6 weights, $1.51. Butcher cows were bringing up to $84.50, butcher bulls bringing up to $108.50, bred cows up to $1,200, pairs were bringing up to $1,400. But at Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction at Clinton Monday, they had some steers on the steer part. They sold 1,653 head Monday. And FYI, they will not be having their sale next Monday. Elk City is still happening this Friday, but next Monday they will not be having the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction there. So anyway, steers, 450 is bringing up to $190. 500 range was bringing anywhere from $1.71 to $1.87. 6 range, $1.49. 700 pounders were bringing anywhere from $148 to $154, looks like was the highest on this report. And then they had some 800 pounders, $1.50. 800, basically $143.50 to $1.50. So anyway, on the heifer side, they had some 500 pounds. They were bringing anywhere from $1.42 up to $1.58. 600 was $141.50. 700 weights were bringing up to $1.47. This is on the heifers. 800 pound heifers, $132.50. And then they had 10 or 12 head there from Weatherford that weighed over 1,000, brought $1.12.50. They had some butcher cows bringing up to $87. I had some butcher bulls up to $111. No bred cows sold there at Clinton Monday, but they had some pairs that was bringing up to almost $1,700 for some pairs. That's all the information I have from those. Thank you, Brandon Hickey. Today, Hobart's going on down at Hobart Stockyards. Rex Fleming might be over, I'm not sure. Tomorrow, Jerry Nine will be having his weekly feeder calf sale. Friday, Brandon will be having his. Hollis will not be having their sale Saturday because of the holidays. So remember all those. I have a gentleman, if anybody's got any. Man, I got to go to Delhi today and catch up with the famous Bill Dance down there because that guy is messing with me all day long today. And I can't even repeat on the radio what he's doing. Anyway, there's a gentleman, or I'd say a gentleman, a person would like to buy some small bales of alfalfa hay in this area. If you have any to sell, please text them at 580-515-5993. 515-5993 if you have any small bales of alfalfa hay to sell in this area. And it looks like they're out of Foss. So somebody's got some. Appreciate it if you'll get a hold of this person and let them know. On the Texas side, Texas A&M has announced their weed of the week. And guess what it is? Johnson grass. Johnson grass is a warm season grass that is one of the most common and troublesome weeds in agriculture. It is commonly found on roadsides, pastures, and hay fields. It grows straight up 3 to 6 foot, and Johnson grass spreads by seeds. And the stem head, the seed head is a large open panicle, often with a purplish tint. Johnson grass leaves have large white midrib and a smooth glossy appearance. Stems are smooth with no hairs. It grows in everywhere. It's everywhere. Again, this year, I don't know if you guys heard me talking about it here earlier in this week. it's knee high and already headed out. Usually it gets up 3, 4, 5 foot tall before it gets out. And I know we've been in a drought, but the drought has, you know, Johnson grass doesn't grow all that great when it's dry. And it's just funny, we get a rain here about a month ago and it starts coming out in the bar ditches. And I know county commissioners really hate Johnson grass because that means they got to fire the shredders up and get after it. But I still haven't figured out why it's just knee high and already headed out. I don't know what, there's a sign, it's telling us what's going on. I don't know if it's going to be dry, who knows what's going on. What else we got to talk about? We just got a few minutes left here. Dr. Peel from Oklahoma State University, in the past week he had driven across Nebraska, Colorado, Wyoming, and Montana. It is springtime in the rain region and pastures and rangelands are trying to begin growing. However, the green up is muted because of dry conditions, and we can all vouch for that around here. With Little Forge, the limit greening of rangelands will fizzle quickly in the coming weeks without immediate moisture. And we've been getting it, but I'm just wondering if we're going to get enough. But I'm going to give you guys some hope. I looked at the long ranger. If you got some hay you want to put down, as soon as it dries up this weekend, you might ought to put it down, because starting next Wednesday night and Thursday, according to the long ranger, not Jimmy Clark, but according to the long ranger, we're going to get in a really wet pattern according to the Mesonet and to the Weather Channel starting next Wednesday. 40 to 50% chance of rain for like 5-6 days in a row. So if you got some hay you want to get down, but you put in this all with high fertilizer and fuel prices adding to the extraordinary cattle industry challenges in 2022. High input costs are causing some producers that are not facing drought conditions to reduce or skip fertilization of pastures and hay fields. But I noticed a lot of spreaders missing for our local fertilizer outputs here. Beef cow slaughter is up in April 4.2%, and that means our cow herd inventory is going backwards. So we just, there's a lot going on in the ag world, whether it's on the farming side or on the cattle side. The decline this year might be the largest in the beef cow herd since 1986, according to Dr. Peel. So we gotta, anyway, heifers might be worth bred heifers, or maybe some second calf heifers. Might be worth a lot of money coming up this fall if we continue to get rain, because some people have already culled cows, which was a smart thing to do. Not dogging them that one bit. You gotta do what you gotta do. But anyway, I can't wait for tomorrow's show. I hope you guys had a great day and enjoyed Jason Bollinger on the show. And we'll see if we can get some more guys to periodically just stop by, surprisingly. Because you heard me, I was after trying to help the farmers. What are we going to do with the climate change? Fire departments, with climate change comes big fires. Fire departments need help. So anyway, you guys have a great day. See you tomorrow. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and God bless.